Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different topics. Some light, some heavy, just lots of things going on in the world of sports in the NFL. It's an amazing, there could be an incredible boon on the free agent quarterbacks or quarterbacks that could be available via trade. And I'm talking about big time names for next year. There's some guys that have been super duper duper stars in this league that you can get, I think, with what's happening in Seattle. That deal about done? Are we done with the Legion of Boom? And so clearly it's done. Are we done with it? Rodgers is going to be a yearly thing. Could both of those guys be available? And what are the trickle-down effects from that? There's a lot there. Pro Bowlers were announced last night. A bunch of OU flair in there for the Pro Bowl. What are the best games this week? One of them maybe tonight with the Niners and the Titans. College football topics yesterday, the college football playoff committee or the powers that be revised their COVID rules. Shocking what they are. Absolutely shocking. And the chance for pie on their face for no reason whatsoever is very, very high. Now, what would you do if you were the czar of the college football playoff, Jared? We'll ask you that. We didn't get to this yesterday, but with the way that Oklahoma's offseason has turned around from a recruiting standpoint, keeping guys on campus that got into the portal, attracting guys from the portal, and now also a recruiting class for 2022 that looked to be decimated, and now by all measures, it appears that that's going to end up in the top 10. Bob Stoops, he's already got a statue. What else do you do for the guy? Because he's a huge part of holding that together. And then the distressing story of the day is for sure, what's going on with Deshaun Brown? Have you heard about this?
A little.
It's almost a shame you haven't.
If we're being
honest.
Just from my casual sit down, look at Twitter and go, what's this? You know, nothing popped on my phone. Is that I know what you're saying.
Pretty shocking that it took until 7:44 last night for the Oklahoman even to have a little blurb about this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Deshaun Brown, he signed with OSU from Choctaw, but there's a lot going on there that it's amazing you haven't heard of, to be quite honest. Thunder win their third straight last night. Largest win of the season over the Denver Nuggets. Denver's a good team. Is SGA an all-star? Is there a chance he can be an all-star on a team that wins a third of their games? And then, by far the best thing that happened last night was Army walking off Missouri with a field goal. 225, even if it cost me a loss in the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be in your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. App has all things Paragon. Three radio stations, Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. It's all there. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website at midnight last night or two nights ago. Get it right now. It's all over the place. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Mentioned Big Oak TV, Paragon TV, silent for a while outside of Hammond, maybe in the birth of Frank Teague. Do we know for sure if that's happening? It is.
I'm pretty sure I've seen banter online that it is. So
that's what, Tuesday? Next Tuesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know,
Hammond, Weatherford, right off the bat, right?
Man, a little Western Oklahoma flair right there. I love it.
We'll talk about that next week for sure. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen via KADSAM.com. Also, you can do that on the iTunes you do that, subscribe, and then you're alerted when a new one drops. What's going on, Jared?
How are you?
I am.
Are you stressing? Have you bought all your Christmas gifts?
I'm about all I'm going to buy.
Ooh.
How about
you
that?
You don't have that inkling, that feeling like, I need to get one more. I need to get,
I do.
Do I have enough?
I do, kind of. I'm not sure, but here's, listen, I don't know how to say this and be nice about it, so I'm going to have to just say it how it really is in my mind.
Say it like you usually say it. Just bluntly say it. Say it.
So, okay. For those that have, I mean, I've referenced where I'm going in April a couple of different times, right, that I'll be out of the country.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to be out of the country is because it's my wife's important birthday.
Gotcha.
It's an important...
Say no more.
It's an important year birthday,
exactly.
I guess.
It ends with a zero.
And so... Oh, that was Jared, not Aaron. She's pretty hot for 30, I'll tell you that, though.
that's what I was going anyhow, for. Yeah. I set you up.
Anyhow. So I don't feel as bad as I normally would because, you know, that's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big trip.
Mm-hmm.
To plan. It's amazing. It's amazing the plans that could be made sitting around watching football, probably a little overserved.
Yeah.
And that.
Hey, you know what's a good idea?
That's exactly
it's
how
famous
it went.
Last words when you have, you know.
That's exactly how it went.
When you're having fun.
Wait a minute. You're going to be how old this year? Let's go to the beach. Okay. Let's go. Where you want to go? I don't want to go to, I don't like red stripes, so we can't go to Jamaica.
Oh.
Okay. Well, let's go somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, here we are. But anyway, I don't feel as bad about that.
They serve more than just red stripe. And there's red stripe light.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. if you don't like the first one, you're darn sure not going to like the second one. But anyhow, so that's why I don't feel as bad about
so
that.
You feel
and
like,
plus, here's the thing. Between Wyatt and I, we've done a pretty good job of getting a couple of practical things. One that's going to, we've done a good job of what she wanted,
mm-hmm.
practical. And then I saw something that I just could not let go and not go get just immediately.
Okay. What is it?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, I almost got you.
It was funny though. We were sitting at the day after we bought, Wyatt wanted to use his own money actually to buy his mother's present.
Good
I wouldn't let him. But as we're sitting there for dinner, he blurted it out. But she didn't catch it because she was talking to her. She says she didn't catch it, maybe not to want to hurt his feelings, but she was talking about how she almost let the cat out of the bag on some gift or whatever before as a kid or what. And why I was like, yeah, it's almost like, you know, if I just said, and then he said what he got instead of like, he meant to say like a gift for you. And he actually said what the gift was.
Oh, dear.
But she was kind of distracted and he stopped himself before he got everything out. So we'll see. Speaking of little buddy, he is now missing his middle fingernail. He ripped it off yesterday working. Got it smashed.
What was he
trying
do?
He was trying to hook up a trailer. He's 10. I get it. But he was trying to hook and he got it smashed and now he doesn't have a fingernail.
It'll
grow
back.
Middle finger.
It'll grow back.
His mother is
distraught,
worried about the next few days and trying to keep that thing not getting infected.
Yeah, you gotta
till
keep
he gets
it,
back
yeah
here.
Yeah, gotta keep that thing clean and wrapped up. I've done that before, not like that. I've smashed a fingernail and it gets black and eventually just falls off.
Yeah, it's gone. He just ripped it right off.
Yeah,
but it's pretty weird though because it didn't quite get clear to the skin, like ripped the skin too.
Yeah,
so there wasn't a lot of blood. That's just it.
That story took an odd turn. Yeah. Reason I ask, I feel like I'm one more gift away. I have for my wife. So I need ideas. So I'm reaching out. I'm getting desperate here. I'm getting desperate. I'm reaching out to our listeners. I won't say what the ideas are on air for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't know if she's listening today. She's off work today.
Probably not.
She was still in her jammies when I left this morning. So
I did a little snoozing. A little extra.
She was up walking around, getting her coffee ready,
of course.
And whatnot. But
faking you out is what that's called.
But the girls are up too, and they don't let her sleep if they're up. Anyways, I feel like I need one more. I got some of the nice stuff that she asked for, and
what was it?
Nice try. Even though she's not listening now, sometimes she goes back and listens. But I feel like I'm just one more away. Because it felt like every night this week, outside of last night, she is in the bedroom with the door shut. She says, don't come in here. I'm wrapping presents. Okay. And then the presents keep growing and growing underneath the tree. And sure, I snoop and I see dad, Jared, yeah. Dad. Oh, my goodness. I know it's not a competition. Who can get more? But I felt like I'm a little behind here.
Yeah, that's the only – I actually split one gift into two last night for that exact reason.
And
to have an extra sack underneath the tree.
And then, you know, she takes these Christmas notes, like, from – like all year, and I swear she has a notebook somewhere. And, in the past, I've opened up a present. I'm like, how did you remember? I said this back in March that I wanted this.
Right.
And she listens. She pays attention. You know, it shows that she cares, and you know she loves. She does it for everybody. And I'm not good with that. Maybe I'm a bad person. I don't know. I'm not good with just remembering that she needed or wanted something back in March. I'm more of the immediate, like, oh. Well, I noticed that she liked this in November, so I'll go find that, you know, something like that. I'm more of a right now kind of guy, but she's really good at paying attention all year round. I feel bad. I feel bad, like, man, I feel like it's a stretch. Sometimes I go to look for something, like, well, does she want this? I don't know. I try to think out of the box when I buy her a present. I'll tell you off air what I got her. Couple things, but I got one more idea, and I'm going to run it by off air too.
Do you ever get one of those presents that you mentioned in February or March that she remembered, and then you open it up and you go, really don't want that anymore? I wanted it back then, but not now.
Yes,
but
and
you
no.
don't say it.
Yes and no. There's been that time where I'm like, well, oh yeah, I did say that. And I thought I wouldn't like it, and then I do like it. I really, oh, that's good.
We have a suggestion on the text line. Get her a horse.
Yeah, I'm gonna no.
Hey, the good news is you've got.
She's not 12. I'm not getting her a pony.
Yeah, but you actually have plenty of open area there between your house and your mother-in-law's. Yeah. There's lots of open space
to roam. I've been told way back in the late 90s that open space actually had horses on it.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is perfect. Dakota.
Fenced up and everything.
Dakota has hit the nail on the head.
But no, I'm not getting her a horse. Sorry, Allie, if you're listening. She's probably relieved I'm not getting her a horse. Nothing that I have to feed year-round.
I did have a buddy that did some last-minute Christmas shopping in Oklahoma City yesterday.
Ooh.
And he sent me a text with a picture. And it was about a 16-ounce glass with just a hint of beer in it as he's finishing it off. And he says, this is what happens when you go to Oklahoma City for last-minute Christmas shopping on the 22nd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure it was followed by another full glass that was sitting there.
Yeah. I
Oh, God. Jeremy from the top rope. Ouch.
That's too good. Uh-oh. That's too funny to even get mad at.
I can't even. I wish.
I'm glad I have a
sense. Can we say that?
No. That's funny.
By the way,
that's funny
to him. Sorry about we didn't, but sorry about yesterday. I know his grandpa was buried. Sorry about y'all's loss, buddy.
Yeah,
it's no fun for sure.
No, we've all been through it. I think in some form or fashion, and you know, knowing that family though, great support system.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You know what I mean? And but yeah, thoughts with the whole Gray family.
No
absolutely.
Doubt. Let's go Thunder first.
Hey,
third straight win. Let me ask you this. Is it too late for, speaking of last minute Christmas gift ideas, maybe Thunder shirts are going to zoom off the shelves all of a sudden with a third straight win last night over Denver. And this was, you know, they'd kind of been playing unbelievably close, fun games in the last three. When you think of the New Orleans game that Devontae Graham threw one in after Shea tied it, then Shea makes a step back game winner against the Clippers on Saturday. And then what was it, Monday or Tuesday? I think it was Monday when that game at Memphis was tight and the Thunder with the awesome inbounds play to get Shea a dunk up one. Then he steals the inbounds from there, and they end up beating Memphis in a tight one. Last night, the Thunder just kind of worked Denver. Now you look up, and it's a 10-point lead at the end of the first quarter. They lead by 8 at halftime, and then blow the game wide open in the third, doubling up Denver 28-14 to blow that thing wide open. I think it's 89-71 at the end of the third quarter, or 88-71 maybe. But anyhow, and then they win 108-94. 14-point win is the largest of the season against a team in Denver that's now down to 15-15. One of the chic picks as maybe a finals team with Jokic and you know, maybe whenever Jamal Murray comes back. But a really impressive win last night for Oklahoma City. Now 11-19, winners of three straight. Shea with his second triple-double of the season, 27, 11 rebounds and 12 assists. And I guess the question that I have with the way we talked about this earlier in the week, maybe on Tuesday after after his performance in Memphis and how he's really kind of figured out that role of being the guy, right? I mean, he's really done a good job of that as the season's gone along, of figuring out how to play when everybody's defense has you as the target, and he's worked through that. And over the last couple of weeks, he's been fantastic night in and night out doing that. Can he be an all-star?
I think he's deserving to be if this production keeps up until the All-Star break or up until when they're picked and released. I don't think he will be because of who he plays for and the records, and that's usually how, I mean, let's face it, that's the sad truth to these All-Star games. It's the most popular players on winning teams. Sometimes that isn't ring true. I mean, you look at Steph Curry, he could be on an 0-whatever team and he's still going to get in because
That's right.
He's a popular player. SGA's not at quite at that level yet, but he will be if he continues to be producing like this and turns this thing around with the Thunder. You know, I mentioned, was it yesterday, day before, about, you know, when do we know when the turnaround starts and when they start going for it. When that happens, and if he can be the number one guy on a playoff contending team like Durant, like Westbrook was, like even Harden was back in the day, absolutely is an all-star. But this year, I don't think so. Not yet. Not yet is my answer. Not yet.
Yeah, and I don't think all-star is the team he might be able to make.
Rising star?
I think like third team all-NBA.
Yeah, but,
coming from writers and not fans.
Exactly,
because then the popularity isn't as important. And we all know, I mean, we're in that same vein as far as the media and wanting to have the best story to talk about. That's a pretty good one if he can figure out a way. I mean, listen, the Thunder are a game out of being in the dadgum play-in game. And if that continues, I don't know that it will, because I don't know that just playing hard night in, night out, it's getting them wins now that I don't know that it'll come. You know, after the All-Star break or after the trade deadline, when the rest of the league really starts, you know, ramping things up for the playoffs, then I think the lack of talent on this team may shine through a little bit more than what it does just on a random, Wednesday in December, right?
Right.
But I think he's more likely to be there, or even like the most improved player award that's given out at the end of the year, something like that, where like what you're saying, I couldn't agree more, the popularity part of this is what's going to keep him out of that game,
yeah.
even if you think he's deserving. You know, he's averaging 21, basically 5 rebounds, 6 assists per night. I mean, those are fantastic numbers on
triple
a team.
Triple-double last night.
Yeah, second ever triple-double. And here's the thing. Through 30 games, they're already halfway to their Vegas over-under win total. That was 22. 22-60 was supposed to be their record. So at this pace, they would be, what, 22-38. So they'd have to win one game in 22 games. Now, they were on the same pace last year, and they shut everything down. And if you had a over bet on their win total, you were, I don't know what, drinking heavily every night as you watched them lose 24 out of 25 to not get to that number. But I don't think, like you mentioned, I don't think this is the going for it moment.
Right.
I think they're just winning a couple games here in the middle of December that nobody really expected them to win, maybe catching teams on back-to-backs or whatever it is. And
resting players or players out. I mean,
that's true.
Something that we're not really thinking about, and I don't know. But
yeah, because
Memphis was without Ja Morant.
No, he played.
He did play.
Yeah, it was his first game back.
Okay.
Yeah, he had been out.
And then, we don't, then there's the whole COVID stuff. Who's not playing? Who is playing? Injuries, who's being held out, back-to-backs. There's a lot of variables and intangibles with this. But it's nice to see there's that spark there, right? That's all I was really kind of looking for, at least last season and this season. Like, okay, this is something that we know who's going to be kept and who's going to be dealt and who's going to be built around. SGA is obviously that. But is this the turning point? That was the big question for me. Three games?
No.
Okay. Is this the going for it moment when you mentioned how close they are to the playoffs as opposed to not being in the playoffs? I don't think so. The real answer will be trade deadline. What happens there? Who does Sam deal? I think Favors is on there. I think he'll be dealt. Or who does he get,
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't think there's anybody he's going to get this year.
No.
Someone at 2:00 on these airwaves is not going to like with what happened last night because it's going to mess with their, I saw a mock draft, the latest mock draft yesterday had OKC all the way up at the number 2 spot. Well, if they continue this, they can be doing what they did last year and get right outside of the spot they really want to be in.
Right now they're 4th in wins. 4th worst in wins.
Sure.
So it's not like, these 3 in a row have taken them out of the top 3 spot that you're having the best chance at the number 1 pick and whatnot. It's a long ways to go.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A long ways to go. So, it's way too early to start watching, talking about how every win will mess them up with all that. And like we've said, the truth is, this isn't the NFL. This isn't a guarantee. Even if you have the worst record in the league, it doesn't guarantee you anything because it still comes down to those stupid ping pong balls.
Right.
We saw it last year. We all loved when the Thunder won that coin flip with Cleveland because they had the same record, flip the coin, boom, Thunder wins. So now they're in the 4th slot instead of the 6th. Guess what? Cleveland picked 3rd. Losing that coin toss put them in the right spot for the ping pong balls, which is it is up to nothing but chance and luck.
Yeah.
You don't want to take, in my mind, I get the tanking. I get trying to give yourself the best chance. I totally understand that, and I totally agree with it, quite honestly. But at the same time, it's no lock. And you don't want to take away a joy from that guy that is so far looking like going to be your cornerstone player. You don't take that joy away from him on a nightly basis just to try to lose and not be guaranteed anything by losing. And oh, by the way, we talk about what happened last year. So far, it's not necessarily a guarantee that Oklahoma City didn't get one of the best 3 players in this draft anyway, even though they picked at 6.
Great point.
Because Giddey has been fantastic so far this year, better than what anybody probably thought he would be. So, sometimes you luck into it that way as well.
Yeah. Yeah, this definitely helps with the T-shirt sales and the ticket sales. People are going to be a little bit more intrigued to go out there and go, hey, you know what? It's a fun, young team. This kind of reminds me of the early days of the Thunder.
It is, and you may have a pretty good crowd day after Christmas.
Sure.
When they're back in town. And then,
see the kid with the cotton candy?
Uh-uh.
Look it up. That kid was having a great time at the game last night.
And then New Year's Eve, of course, they'll have that game. So
yeah.
A good way to get people back in there.
Yep.
Jared coming up with great plans.
Thank you. Okay.
Great plans.
I have to run that. I have to talk it out. I have to run it by somebody, make sure it's a good idea.
It sounds good
in my head. Sometimes you have a good idea in your head, then you execute it. Like, that didn't really work. But, okay, I think that's what I'm going to go with.
It's a great plan. Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania. 2-game lead. We have one, the leader. God, I wish I knew. Let's see if we can find out who this is.
If we click
on their profile.
I'm just happy how that result happened with Army and Missouri because I still got the pick.
Oh, so you're one of the non-patriotic people that picked Missouri as well. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, well, that's a green check on my side.
It is. It is, unfortunately, for everybody else that supported the Army. I picked them because you know why I pick them? First off, they haven't lost. They haven't lost a bowl game in a couple of years. Did you watch any of that last night?
The game itself?
Yeah.
I watched one play.
The kick?
The kick.
There was a point in the second quarter where Army punted, and it was the first time they had punted in a bowl game since like 2015 or 16. Because in 17 and 8, of course, that one year they beat Houston like 70-something to 7.
Yeah, I remember
back
that.
Back in that era, I think that was probably 2018 when that happened. But anyway, they punted, and of course they punted it down there to about the 10, and it was a 2-yard loss because they are disciplined, and that's why I always pick to win games. Now the spread is different with the contest we're doing now, but those armed forces, they're so much more disciplined than the regular college kid, man. And so that means that layoff, you know, they're not down in Fort Worth partying and all that. Or if they are, they know how to do it because they're professionals. And sure enough, they beat Missouri. You know what? You know my favorite part about that? So at halftime, like the last play of the half or close to, Missouri kicks a field goal. And their kicker, almost in a taunting motion, salutes.
Come on. The Missouri kicker?
The Missouri kicker.
Oh, dear.
Kind of made it and saluted, like at the Army.
The Army sideline?
No, not the sideline, just the guys on the field.
Oh, come on.
And that put them up 16-7, and then Army came back in the second half, outscored them 17-6 to win.
Well, good for them.
So Army gets a walk-off field goal. They win.
I just liked how that bonehead Missouri coach lost.
Wasn't there a real one?
He put two. Was he out with something?
COVID.
Oh, dear. Well, the penalty on the kick on Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Two illegal substitution. They had two number sixes on the field. Come on, man.
You wonder. Here's the deal, though. You wonder if somebody didn't get hurt in the back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we see that happen from time to time when both guys are supposed to be out there. And one puts on a different jersey just for that one play and then rips it off.
Right.
You know, I think Oklahoma was guilty of that a couple of times a few years ago, and then they figured out, wait a minute, so-and-so needs to have a different number for that play, and then they can take the jersey off after that's over. But I would guess it's that because otherwise they would do that. You know what I'm saying? Like that – at that time when it happened to OU, it was kind of a new thing. And now that's been around. So I think – it's still lack of paying attention for sure, but I bet somebody got nicked up or somebody, you know, on the coverage team or whatever.
Right.
And then this backup went in there like they're supposed to, and then they went, uh-oh.
Yeah.
They got the same number.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but great for the Army to win. You know, it's like Trammell said yesterday, I thought it was hilarious. It's the ultimate good versus evil in college football. It's the armed forces versus the SEC.
Well, he needs to be careful with that because he's going to be in the SEC.
Yeah, well, listen.
Covering a
Trammell
SEC
doesn't have anything
team.
To do with it. Get everybody mad. Today, who's playing today? Is it Florida and Central Florida?
Yes, that's the night game. We have an afternoon game, North Texas and Miami of Ohio. It's a Frisco Football Classic in the Gasparilla Bowl.
UCF Florida could be fun. Because you probably think there's a bunch of guys on UCF that wanted to play for Florida and they wouldn't let them. Right.
And there's probably a lot of guys who played for Florida who are opting out.
or maybe played for Florida at one time and are back on UCF's team now.
There you go.
Because of a transfer or something.
Something like, yeah.
10-5. Let's see, 10-3.
Is UCF the best team in Florida?
Probably has been over the past 5 years. Probably so.
Chance for them to prove it right here?
Mm-hmm.
You know they're motivated to do that.
It'd have to be either them or Florida. It can't be Florida State or Miami.
Oh, no. And Florida was just not good this year.
Maybe St. Thomas Aquinas High School. 10-3 leading the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl. Pick 'em. I'm 8-5. Hunter's 8-5. See, we were supporting the Army because I know we were tied yesterday and I lost, so he had to have. Dylan Possum and J-Mac, a game back. Here you come, though. Hey, you went against your country. And moved up the list.
Come on.
Thank you to Tyler, Robbie, all the gang, Western Oklahoma Realty, hanging out with us again for the Bowl Mania. 225-6271 for all your real estate needs. So that's the that was fun. And then there was the bad. Yesterday, 3 o'clock or so, you start seeing the news filtering out. Texas A&M will not play in the Gator Bowl. Why? I wonder what's wrong with them. Oh, yeah. They were having COVID positive tests. So A&M's out. It's not going to happen. It doesn't look like. But there was one obvious replacement for Texas A&M. Obvious replacement.
Texas?
100%. It had to be Texas. It's not going to be Texas because there's some arbitrary rules about APR. Who cares? You know, you have any idea how much fun it would have been to watch the Aggies squirm when they lost out their Gator Bowl bid because of COVID? And you know good and well a majority of that fan base doesn't agree with the rules of COVID just because of where they're situated in the state of Texas and how most people's belief systems work, right? I mean, I think it's safe to assume more than half of that fan base thinks it's ridiculous that they're not getting to play because of some COVID tests for their football players. And for that to happen, and then their replacement be the University of Texas at 5-7, I think they may have reversed their choice. Said, you know what? Never mind. We're fine. We're fine. Horns aren't taking our spot. Hilarity would have ensued if the Gator Bowl would have immediately went, okay, I don't care about your rules about APR and Rutgers or whatever. Give me Texas.
That would be funny. The big question is if, say, A&M had snuck into the college football playoff, they'd probably be 100% healthy right now, right?
Well, judging by the rules, I'm going to say yes, because those came down yesterday with, 9 days before? Be 8 right now. 8 days before those games were played on New Year's Day, on New Year's Eve, excuse me. College football playoff came down with what their rules are going to be concerning how to deal with COVID. And they're ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So here's what it is. You got Alabama versus Cincinnati, and you've got Michigan versus Georgia. If one game, or if any team can't, which what does can't play mean? I didn't quite see that. But if they can't play because of too many COVID tests, the other team moves on. It's a forfeit. There's no postponing. There's no rescheduling. You forfeit, and the other team is in the national title game. If that happens in both games, then there's not a playoff game played. We got a national title game with the teams that could have played. If one game gets knocked out completely, so if just one of the semifinals, say if Alabama and Cincinnati both can't play, Michigan and Georgia is the title game right then.
Right.
That's going to be the title game. And then the creme de la creme of this ridiculous policy. If one game is knocked out, and then in the other game one team can't play, whammo, national title. So now, knowing these rules, and I first off think they're absolutely ridiculous, I almost hope, though. You know what I almost hope happens? I almost hope that Bama, Georgia, and Michigan can't play. And left standing is your national champion, Cincinnati Bearcats. Maybe even more funny than just that would be if Bama and Georgia couldn't play, so that means the finals is Michigan and Cincinnati.
The SEC country would explode.
You know what I think they might do?
Revolt? What?
No, I think they might just, okay, you guys play your petty little game. Come the 10th, since we can't play on the 31st, but we're going to be able to play on January 10th, you guys go do whatever you want. Where's the game? Where's the finals?
I was just thinking that. I don't know.
It's in Indianapolis, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's in Indy.
Right.
Okay, so you guys play in Indy. You have your little fun. We're going to set up a game down here in Atlanta. We're going to play. We're going to go right back to where we just played the SEC title game, and we're going to play the quote-unquote real national title game with the two SEC schools playing each other that were knocked out by these arbitrary rules.
Split title?
I don't even think the SEC folks would recognize that other one. It's all about that one.
Well, the writers wouldn't either. The writers wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
possible.
That's
the number one. That's the number one thing that who doesn't want that to happen, or those scenarios, of Georgia and Bama not getting to play. The writers don't want that. The media wants the best teams in this thing, and the best teams come from the SEC. Let's face it.
Well, I mean, going into it for sure, but I think it's funny because we talked all that time through 2020 about as things were starting to get going back and you know, bubbles and all this different stuff. We talked at the time and throughout about asterisk. Mm-hmm. Would there be? And there hasn't been. No one said, oh, yeah, the Lakers won in 2020, but it was a bubble title, so it doesn't really count. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody's claiming that Baylor basketball last year, it's a title. Even though it was in the bubble, even though it was in Indianapolis and it wasn't the same as what the normal tournament is. No, you know what I'm saying? So, no, and, you know, the Dodgers aren't getting docked for playing in Arlington instead of going back and forth like a normal World Series. None of that's happening. But they all got to play.
Yeah, that's true.
They all got to play, and they all played, and they all finished. And it felt fair. I don't know that it even takes both Alabama and Georgia to not get to play to fire an asterisk out. I promise you, if they both don't, there's going to be a giant one on whoever wins that game between Michigan and Cincinnati. But I think it's even could happen if just one of them doesn't get there, because here's the reasoning. Even if the team that gets into the title game without having to play doesn't win, there's always going to be the thought out there that, well, they'd have never won the first one anyway.
Very true.
You know, maybe if Alabama or Georgia wins and doesn't have to play, I mean, doesn't get the chance to play the other because the other's not, maybe not because they won. But I do think that this sets up for a huge asterisk possibility for the first time since the COVID has started, and that's why it's so ridiculous. I mean, at the very least, you've got to postpone those games, right?
I mean, at the very least. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, you got – it's talk about being fair. It's not fair for the kids who are healthy enough to play and all that. But yeah, I would say at least try to buy them some time to give us a game.
So what's behind it? What's behind being so stubborn and not wanting to postpone these games and move these games around? It can't be TV. I mean, as far as – because you know that TV, with all the money that they're at the risk of losing, I mean, what are they going to do? Seriously, what are they going to do? ESPN, what are they going to do? If it comes up to a week ago right now and they don't have any content to deliver for the playoffs – because one or both games are affected by a team not getting to play.
Let me ask you this. Did they sign off on these rules?
Had to have. At least so far.
I would have pushed back. So you don't play a game, you owe us money. We paid you a lot of money to broadcast these games.
God, you'd think so.
So if you choose not to give us something, a product to put on air, you owe us. But we know how woke ESPN is now, so... they probably signed off on it without even reading it.
Pretty crazy to me that this is where – what would you do? If it was up to you and you get to make the choice, how would you handle this?
Well, what are the flu rules?
If you feel like you can play, you can play?
Yes.
As a player?
I'm sorry if some people see that as being harsh, but I've done my homework on this variant. I mean, these are college kids, okay? They're college kids. A lot of these positive tests we're seeing at all levels, NBA, NFL, everywhere, are asymptomatic. We had Baker Mayfield sitting on his couch, probably screaming at the TV during that game, feeling fine, but he couldn't play because he tested positive. And I why can't we go back one, learning how to live with it? I mean, that sticks with me. We got to learn how to live with it. Two, if it was the flu, you go back to that, okay, Johnny, how do you feel? Ah, coach, I feel fine. I'll give it a go. Or, I've been throwing up all night, coach. You need me for special teams, I'll give it a shot. Okay. And we've heard situations of, man, flu's really bad in the locker room right now, but we're getting through it. We've been hydrating. That's me. I mean, call me old school. Call me an old timer, I guess. But that's me. I mean, we've got to quit pretending this thing is Ebola and start treating it for what it is. And it's a respiratory disease, yes. It's treatable, yes. But does it require forfeiting games? I don't believe so.
You know, the argument can be made, and has been made by numerous people, that athletes, professional or college athletes, in this age group with the health that they possess, there's been far more complications from the vaccine that a lot of these leagues are forcing these players to take. And, you know, myocarditis was a big thing about COVID to start this, and a big thing about why they shouldn't play sports, which is that the heart problem. That's being found in way more vaccinated soccer players over in Europe. It's happening. There's like 75 to 100 that have developed this thing, and they're all vaccinated, every one of them. And they're attributing that back to that as opposed to getting the disease, because some of them haven't had it.
Right.
That's just the truth. There's studies out there. There's stories out there about this. It's not making it here, though. And you know why I think you're onto something? Is because of this. We would know if these healthy athletes were really getting sick, because we would get told.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just hearing how all these players are positive and all this, the testing is going this way, and then that's it. You don't hear anything else. If a bunch of these guys were getting really sick, you'd know, because you would get told about that. See, look here, even the healthy, you know.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't agree with you more. It's time in sports, the sports leagues, the sports teams, NCAA, all the way through the professional ranks, they are some of the most percentage-wise vaccinated groups in the world. NHL's like 99%, and they're quitting. What? Come on, man. This madness cannot continue. Just in general, and much less in sports, because of the age group and the health of what these people are. It's the every study out there since this thing has kind of taken hold and people started understanding it. And started, grouping. Okay, here's the deal. It's obvious the older you are, the more susceptible you are to real complications from this thing, right? You know? And here's another thing that, you hear a bunch of people out there, if there's rushes in hospitals, they shouldn't treat unvaccinated people. You know what causes a lot more problems with this disease than vax or unvax? Obesity. So now are you going to start telling hey, fat guy, hey, Aaron, you can't come get treated because you made yourself fat and you got COVID? That's essentially what you're trying to do by separating vaxxed and unvaxxed, except for what I'm talking about actually has a better link to big time sickness than what just taking some arbitrary shot is. But I'm with you. They have to play these games no matter what. Give the players the choice. We're giving them a choice on everything else. We're giving them a choice to make money.
Yeah.
Give them a choice to play the game.
Right. How do you feel? You feel good? Yeah, you're right.
The truth of it is.
I'm winded when I walk to practice. I don't know if I can. Again, it's choice. And that's the number one thing. And broken record, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I've sounded since day one with man. I can't stand mandates because it impedes on my choice. If I choose to wear a mask, so be it. If I don't choose, so be it. I don't care if you want to wear a mask or not. That's your choice. Vaccine, that's your choice. Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. That's just me, and that's the same thing here.
Here's another question, and we'll take a break and then come back, because I've had this in my mind for a week and a half now, and I want to get your thoughts on it. And the question on the text line is, or the statement basically, can you imagine the NFL forfeiting the Super Bowl because of COVID? I'm not necessarily going to go there, but I do. The Super Bowl is an interesting thing to me because of where it's going to be played.
Yo, yeah. If you had bought a Super Bowl ticket, I wouldn't.
Are you not trying to unload that sucker right now?
Yeah.
We're wrapping up a Thursday, 2 days before Christmas. I've got shorts on. Almost hot with my jacket on. I'm going to need to take it off. It's going to be 70-something today. 80 tomorrow.
80 and windy tomorrow.
Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. All right, so the question on the text line was about forfeiting the Super Bowl. because of COVID.
Which would never happen.
I don't think that would happen. I really don't. But here's the thing. I like where the line of thinking is from Dakota here, because it's something I've been thinking about, listening to a couple of different people mention, and I think it has merit, and I think this has to happen, and it has to happen now. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to, or it would have already happened. The Super Bowl is in LA.
Right.
And with the track record.
If you're going to the game, get your hazmat suit ready.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if you're going to get to, though.
Yeah.
With the track record of what Gavin Newsom and the wildness out there in California has been throughout this entire pandemic. If I had a ticket to the Super Bowl, and you know, that's one of those things for most people, going to the Super Bowl is a lifelong dream and a once in a lifetime experience, because it is so damn expensive to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do it, you just bite the bullet and do it. And so you're there for a few days. You're enjoying the, you know, the festivities around the Super Bowl leading up to the game, right? I mean, at least for the weekend, for most people. There is no chance in the world that I would take that risk if I had a ticket to that game right now, and hotels and all the rest of it. I would be trying my damnedest to unload that immediately, because I don't trust for one second that I'm going to be able to go. And I know for sure I'm not going to be able to go to L.A. and enjoy the experience of the Super Bowl the way that I want to, which means free to go, free to do.
Oh, it's not happening. That's the thing. It's not just about the game. It's the
rest of it.
The rest of it. You're not going to be able to go to the restaurants you want to go to, or the sightseeing you want to go to, because probably it's going to be limited or shut down, or they're going to require you to show your card that you got a shot, all that. It's just not going to – it's going to be more of a hassle than fun. I'm with you. I'd be looking to unload it, save the money, buy a ticket for the next one.
What about this?
Yeah.
Does Roger Goodell does the NFL have to move that game?
They have to. If they will, or if they're going to, they have to now.
Yes, it should have happened last week.
They should have already done it.
And quite
can't do it, you know, once after the championship games, and then say, okay, oh, by the way, we got to move.
No. You got to give people
do it now.
You got to give people the chance to change flights, to change.
And I'll be honest with you, I hope he does.
Oh, I hope he does. He has to. I think he has to for the fans. But when the hell has the NFL done anything for the fans? Never. It's all about the money.
And that's where I how hypocritical would it be if they say, okay, 100% capacity at the Super Bowl,
when you can't even go across the street and eat?
Exactly.
But it may happen.
This is my fear, though, is if they say, if the governor, along with old Roger, get together and say, okay, then we're going to be able to keep this here, but let's come to an agreement of 50% capacity.
Yeah.
Well, who's chosen to keep their ticket and who's chosen not to?
That's right.
Right? I'm like, oh, sorry, you bought that $500 ticket in the nosebleeds. You're not going to be able to use it.
And I'm sure they'll try to give him another one.
Here's a voucher.
Yeah, or something like that.
Here's store credit.
But the point, even if you got to go to the game, the experience isn't going to be what you signed up for. In L.A. It's just not going to be. And if I'm Goodell, I see this coming, and I'm moving that game, and I'm moving it to Florida, or I'm moving it to Texas, because those are the only two places, in my mind, that you could trust, that have the infrastructure and all that to host the Super Bowl, and then you can trust that the fans are going to get the experience that they paid for because of the laws and the regulations in those two states.
Absolutely.
Which is not really any.
Absolutely.
And so I think if you're Goodell, you know, there's been a bunch of things that he's been on the wrong side of, in my mind, in a bunch of fans' minds, over the last handful of years, where he kind of protected the shield and didn't. This is a move, in my mind, that you could really kind of garner some good PR and some good brownie points from a majority of your fan base. If you make this move, because you know the stories that are coming after Super Bowl week if this stays there, and they're not going to be positive. Now, some of the media people might try to spin it to some sort of positive, but the fans are, it's not going to work the way that they think it's going to work. People are going to be pissed. Mm-hmm. Because they spent a whole bunch of money, a ton of money, for a once-in-a-lifetime experience that isn't going to be what the NFL thinks it's going to be. because of where that game is going to be played out in L.A. They have got to move this thing.
Yes.
They've got to.
Yes.
And if they don't, then everything that comes their way is on them. And it's deserved. And sorry about your luck,
right.
NFL. Merry Christmas to you too, Billy.
Hey, we'll be on tomorrow.
We will be on tomorrow. By the way, I forgot to mention, you know who else is going to be on tomorrow? 11 o'clock to noon on KECO. Have your kiddos call in because Santa is in the house. Santa Claus taking calls for an hour. Tomorrow. One whole hour of Santa Claus and what's his elf's name? Bernard.
Bernard.
Santa and Bernard. 225-9697. Say that again. 225-9697. Call in. Your kids can call in and talk to Santa as he makes a quick little detour from giving, you know, spreading the Christmas cheer all across the world to stop by right here at the KECO studios and take calls. 225-9697, Santa. Goodness, and Bernard. Santa and Bernard. Tomorrow. It's always a fun thing. And I think we have a different idea this year that's going to make it a lot more fun for all of us.
Okay.
Using the phone systems, the way that they can be set up. Not running around crazy. 225-9697. I'm going to say that a few more times.
Running around like elves in a workshop. Now it's more streamlined.
Bumping our head, our head on things because you forget to duck. So it's not made for humans. Just ask Buddy. Everybody's seen that movie. Yeah, he kept on running his head into to the top of the door and whatnot. But anyhow, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how all this. Do you think that A&M is going to be the last team not to play in a bowl game? I don't.
No.
I mean, if you're honestly, as far as the college football playoff teams are concerned.
I wonder, did they even care? A&M, that is. Like, you know what? This wasn't our goal. We talk about kids opting out, and you see what I'm saying?
Here's the thing about that, though.
If this, it's kind of what I was alluding to. If this was a college playoff game, then they're 100% in.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And, you know, and it's going to come down to, you're going to start seeing this in the near future, not necessarily this season, but soon, if this continues. Oh, it's discovered that Team A underreported their positive cases so they could play in the college football semifinal.
Great. That's going to be in my new favorite team.
It's coming.
It's going to be my new favorite team.
It's coming.
Oh, you know good and well that Pat Forty and Dan Wolken and some of those are probably hiding in the bushes at Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, they're waiting for
them. They're like they may even be like Han and Luke, where they're going to smash one of the stormtroopers and jump in their costumes to go infiltrate what's happening in Alabama to try to break the story.
They're going
to
break a story of the kicker, the third string kicker who coughed during practice, and then that's going to blow up into something bad. But that's the stuff's coming, what I just said. It's coming.
Only if somebody gets sick. Like has afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's going to care if a bunch of guys played and nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? But now if somebody collapses on the field in one of these games, God forbid that happens. Yeah, you're right. Then here it comes. And that one person is going to be used as an example of the millions of athletes all over the world that hasn't happened to. Outside of those soccer players that had to get the vaccine. Go do some research on that.
Okay.
Over in Europe, how many of those guys are having to retire?
Wow. I hadn't heard anything about that.
Of course you haven't, Jared. You think if it had been caused by COVID, you'd have heard about it?
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right, everybody have a great day. We'll be back to wrap up the Christmas season tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.